about it. Ask God to help you to capture it, or talk to some of the staff and just say, you know, help me to understand this. Where are we going and how do I fit into it? Well, I mean, I believe it's an exciting time for North Point. I don't want anybody to miss out on that. Now, that's not what my message is about, although it can apply. So I want to start out and just say I'm terrible with message titles, and Nancy can attest to this. She's always asking me, what's your message title? What's your, you know, throughout the week, right? Nancy's the secretary of the church, and you know, needs to put that in the bulletin. And if you notice, it doesn't have one, right? Because I didn't give her one. I'm just terrible with those titles. So I think it's like it's the last thing that I do in message preparation. You know, because I'll start out with a title, and I'll get to the end of the message, and I'm like, that doesn't even apply at all. It's not even close. So I don't start with titles. So if you really are one of those that has to have a title in your notes to make things, you know, feel complete and, you know, whole, you can put down coconut water and other things, okay? Just start with that, okay? It'll help you out. I was just going to put the little train that could, and it'll apply to pretty much any message. All right. But this has a point. The little train that could? All right. We're going to move on. All right. So a short while ago, I found myself in a friend of mine's living room. Now, as far as I know, this friend is not a follower of Jesus. I mean, he's a great guy, and him and his wife are just a great couple. I really like them a lot and been getting to know them over the last, actually, several years. But more recently, they moved a little closer to us. So I've been spending more time and really connecting. And, well, I had found out that this was actually the first time I'd been in his house. And it was because he had had some minor surgery, and his recovery was not going very well. He had just been having a time of it at home and just not going well, and I think he was kind of getting a little depressed about the whole situation. And so I heard about it, and I said, I'm just going to stop by. So I went over there, and I just showed up at his house, and you always want to bring a gift or something, I think. That's good etiquette and all that. So I brought a bottle of coconut water. So put that up higher for those that are that side of the room. Okay. Now, coconut water, right? Has anybody ever had it? It's awesome. Ah, a few. Good. Well, coconut water is one of the things that I should go back a step. This guy that I know, he is, usually I don't meet him at his house. We meet in the water somewhere. We're either surfing or diving. We do both of those activities. And usually this coconut water is something that we drink before and after because it's just a great hydrator. It has all kinds of electrolytes in it. It's got all the potassium of, like, I think one or two bananas, depending on the size of the container. And it's just great stuff. And you can feel it. It's just a little thing, but you can drink that and feel it just going into all your muscles and just you feel rejuvenated. It's amazing stuff. If you run or do anything, physical activities, try it. It's good. Endorsed by Alex. So there you go. So with that, I brought this bottle of coconut water. Not just a little thing, but I thought, hey, you know how you're sick sometimes, you get dehydrated. And he said, man, I was too, so thanks a lot for that. We spent some time talking. We just talked about surfing and diving and his recovery and, you know, hopeful recovery and getting back in the water and all those kind of things. And it was just, you know, a little chit-chat, and then I had to go, and so I bid farewell and headed out. Now, I want to point out the things that I did not do. Okay, just briefly. I didn't list the miracles of Jesus' healing ministry on earth. Didn't do that. I did not try to slip in various scriptural analogies that fit his situation. And I also didn't slip a gospel tract under the couch cushion as I left. Now, some of you are like, why not? Well, I didn't. Now, just so you know, I just came over as a friend and I brought a box of coconut water. And that's a little thing. And I want the other title you could put down is Little Things Matter Big Time. That'd be another title if you're into that. Now, before you think, well, hey, wait, Pastor Mike must be ashamed of his faith and he's not sharing it. No, he knows I'm a Christian. He knows I'm a pastor. He knows I've talked with him many, many times. In fact, he, in our conversation, thanked me for praying for him during his surgery because I had messaged him. I wasn't able to be there. I messaged him, hey, I'm praying for, you know, the surgery goes well and all of that. And it did. The recovery wasn't so great, but He thanked me for that. So he definitely knows I'm a Christian. It's not something I'm hiding, just to let you know, because some of you are like, maybe. No, he knows that, okay? Because, you know, it's a possibility. Some of you might have that undercover. I'm just going to be a Christian in the background, not say anything. No. But this particular visit, I did not feel that was the thing to do, okay? Now, there's opportunities. We've talked in the past about my faith, about, you know, what it means to be a Christian. So it's not something that's hidden. So these little things matter big time. And when I left there, I really felt God sharing, just kind of highlighting this visit for whatever reason to bring it to my attention to, like, this means something. Now, I've hung out with this guy lots of times. We were sitting out in the lineup, which is out in the waves, waiting for waves to come, sitting out there on our surfboards, and we're talking, and we're friends. But this particular time, I felt God was really pointing something out to me, in that the little tiny things matter a lot. And he brought a scripture to memory that I'm going to share with you, and I have it on the screens for you. It's Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And you probably have read this before. It's going to break into three parts, so it won't look too huge on the screen there. So first, let's go ahead and read this together. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Excuse me. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I come to you this morning and I ask for your anointing. Lord, that you would speak through me, through your word, God, that our hearts would be open to receive it, that we would hide it in our hearts, that we wouldn't sin against you, God, but we would please you in all that we do. Lord, grant your anointing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I dig into this a little further, I mentioned the mission and vision statements. I want to just hop back onto those just for a second. So we're going to put those up behind me here. The mission, just to recap, North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. Okay, that's our mission. And then the vision, North Point's becoming a group of spiritually strong believers, learning God's word, meeting the needs in our community, and loving unconditionally. Now, I think of that, those two things together, and the scripture that I just read, and kind of all the things that we experience in our life, there is purpose why we're here. There's a reason that God has us here in this time, in this city, in this church. It's for a purpose. And so think about those scriptures as we go forward. You know, I believe everyone here can make that vision become a reality. You realize it says vision is becoming. That's like we're not quite there yet, right? This is looking forward, the vision of what we want to become. But everybody can make that vision become a reality if we pay attention to the little things. Sometimes we get the idea, and I'm going off notes here for a second, get the idea that there has to be this big, gigantic thing that's going to be the thing that just breaks out the church and boom, we'll have this big, you know, Billy Graham-type crusade or something or revival or whatever it might be. But honestly, us as the church, you and I, are what make the vision a reality, what make God's purpose fulfilled in this city. It's you and I becoming who he wants us to be. And we can't get there by just skipping over the little things and just focusing on the big things. We kind of think, well, it must be pastor's job, and the church is the church's job, the building, I don't know what they refer to at that, but the church's job to do the thing that causes the vision to be fulfilled and the mission accomplished. But that's not at all scriptural. Pastor went over in Ephesians 4 where it says that the pastors are here to train you. As I wrote in my notes, and this is wildly Mike paraphrased, it says, we're not here to entertain you, we're here to train you. That's what we're here for. I said, wildly paraphrased. You can check it out, it's in there. That's the essence of it, all right? Is that we would be trained, that we would become fulfilling that vision and the mission. Now, those are all of those things tie into doing the little things. And so one of the ways that we can pay attention to the little things and respond to them is first of all, we have to recognize there's needs. Recognize that there's things happening all around us. You know, if you look at that scripture, we'll just kind of jump back into that, you can see that God is rewarding the faithful for things that they've done. He's telling them why they deserve this inheritance, which is kind of cool. So he says, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me, and I was in prison, and you visited me. Every single instance there involves recognizing a need, going and giving. I mean, that's just breaking it right down. Recognizing there's a need, going and then giving, being a part of meeting that need. So the first step is to recognize there are needs all around us. John 4:35 says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Everyone you meet has some kind of need. Everybody you meet has some kind of need. There's something that they could use, some encouragement, some help, some, you know, whatever it is, someone to stand by them. Every single person. You have a need. There's something that you're like, man, I don't need any help. I'm self-sufficient, right? But yet, really, you have a need. There's stuff that somebody could help you with, could be a friend to you, could be a support, whatever it might be. And it may not be, you know, I'm hungry, well, somebody buys me a sandwich. I don't know, whatever it is. But there's some needs all around you. Every single person. There's people in your family that have needs. Your kids have needs. They need your time. They need you to support them, to encourage them. They're going through an incredibly tough time with all of the forces that are pulling them away from following God. And you know that. And you see it in our media and the internet and everywhere. It's just pulling so hard. And they need your support. They need your help. They need your prayers. Everywhere. And I read this quote the other day. It said, every person you meet is fighting a battle. So be kind, always. And I thought, that's so true. Because everywhere you look, whether it's in your workplace or your family or just the acquaintance that's, you know, that you run into or the person standing across on the other side of the gas pump at the gas station, everyone has a need. And this was pointed out to me. You know, I think I'm a pretty compassionate person, but I can get sort of hyper-focused on things sometimes. And this last weekend, I had hosted a dive class for training, getting some good training for safety and stuff. And I hosted, and I brought an instructor in from from California, got him in, and he's doing the instruction. And that, so I had to, you know, not only get him there and, you know, transport him and feed him and all that kind of stuff. You know, had to kind of be with him 24/7 for these 3 days, and it was, you know, it was a great time. Enjoy his company, another good friend as well. But one of the times we went to a restaurant, and it was really hectic because we were in Traverse City, and it's, if you've ever been up there, it's like super touristy, busy. And we went to this restaurant and said, do you have any seats? And the place was packed. She's like, I have nothing the rest of the night, except maybe those two seats over there by the bar and one over there, which are kind of first come, first serve. And we're like, You know, and there's four of us. So we're like, that's not going to work. And I was kind of like hyper-focused. I've got to feed this guy. I've got to make it a good experience. And we're standing there, and of course the hostess has had every person come in and ask for a seat, and she's just like, no seats, I'm sorry, you know, just kind of down. And the instructor, Mark, he goes to me, he says, he chats her up a little bit about something, and then he turns to me, he goes, hey, I made her smile. And I thought, and that hit me pretty hard. I don't know, I didn't tell him this, but I was like, I didn't even think about that. I was like, we want our seats, we want to be, you know, I was like, focus. And I missed it. And how many times do we do that? There's people all around us who have these needs. I mean, she probably liked her job overall. But at the time, she was like not having a good day. And I wasn't helping. It's just like, we need a seat. We really, can we pump those people over? Yeah, I was trying to work something out. Yeah. That's, you know, so if you ever see me hyper-focus, just kind of grab my arm and go, whoa, slow down. All right, got it. Because I can get that way. And I know we all do. We kind of overlook, we're concerned about our meal or this, or how we're being taken care of, our customer service, or how somebody's treating us at work, and realize that there may be something else going on, that, and we're there for just such a time to be a light, to be a help and a hope, and to do the little thing that might change their whole outlook on their day, and then maybe, you know, eventually lead them to a place of discovering a relationship with Jesus. So everyone is fighting some kind of battle. And lost people are everywhere. Despite their hard exterior, they are really looking for genuine faith. They really are. They're looking for what really works. And people can, you know, I've run into folks who were just adamantly like that whole Christianity thing, a bunch of hypocrites, don't want anything to do with it.
But they're looking for something. They've tried all this stuff. And if they really could experience and come across somebody who is exhibiting and displaying genuine faith and letting Jesus flow through them in every avenue of their life, fulfilling that vision, you know, loving unconditionally, not just the people we like, but everyone, that takes the feet right out from underneath that. That takes the wall down. It opens the door. And I'm not saying it knocks it all the way down and you just walk right in, but it opens the door. And we have to recognize that there's those needs, there's those open doors everywhere, every day. Luke 15:2 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" You know, Jesus set the example for us. He was real. He lived it. He rubbed elbows with those that the undesirables, those that were socially not accepted, and that's the example for us. We have a little running discussion group online, and on there somebody was talking about, you know, different folks coming to the church, and somebody said, "Yeah, next thing the church will be full of all drug addicts and prostitutes," and you know, went on this list, and then this other guy who's kind of he likes to poke and push people's buttons, but he's like, "I hope so." And it was kind of a kickback to the rest of it. Yeah. But we kind of get in that mode. We're like, no, we got to be all cleaned up and right and righteous. And no, he came to save the lost. You know? He went out to find that one, not the 99. That's what we're about. That's that mission that we have to reach this community. And so, you know, so this is just, you know, the one visit led to this and opened this whole thing and kind of poked me in a lot of places where I'm like, wow, that's just not what I've been doing. I mean, you know, some of you are doing it. You're doing great. I'm going to encourage you in that. Keep doing it. Keep looking for those opportunities. The next thing after we realize this is happening, after we realize there's these opportunities and we recognize the needs around us, the next thing is to go. Because if you look at every one of those instances, it's not a, "Oh, too bad. I wish they'd get better." No, there's action that's there. You have to go. Get involved directly. I mean, and now, admittedly, this is the hardest part. It is the hardest part because how many of you, I know this has happened. I mean, it's happened to me, and maybe you're super compassionate. You're like, "Pastor Mike, how could you ever?" But you see somebody going along, and maybe they got their arm full of stuff, and they trip, and everything falls on the ground, or they fall flat on their face, and you're like, your immediate reaction is, "I hope somebody helps them." Somebody else. Okay? Right? Or maybe somebody slides off in the wintertime, you know, they're not hurt badly or anything, they just slide off the ditch, and you're like, "Oh, I think the guy behind me is stopping. I'll just keep going," right? Now, that's some of our human... Now, I hope that Christians, as Christians, with the life of Jesus inside us, we'd be a little more compassionate, but honestly, our human nature is like, keep driving, eyes front, right? But God says, no, we recognize these needs and go do something about it. I mean, we have the story of the Good Samaritan and the guy's on the side of the road and people are just like passing him by like he doesn't exist. But how many of us Christians, we've done that with people in our lives. We just kind of got the blinders on. It's all about us and nobody else. That's not how God wants us to live, to go recognize the need and get involved. Philippians 2:3 says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." And that is hard to do, because we do care about ourselves. Now, it doesn't say neglect yourself totally, but it says to consider others above yourself. Look to the interests of others. It takes effort. It takes, putting your energies toward it to make that a reality. Now, I have to add this, and I hate that I have to add this, but in our digital culture that we're living in, this means go, means in person, in real life. It is. It's not just a like. Okay? It's okay. You can like statuses if you're on Facebook. For those of you that are not, I'm talking about, you know, this whole digital thing that's going on, social media. You can do that. You can definitely like. That's fine. I'm not downing that. But if that's all you do, you are missing it. If somebody says, "Hey, you know, I've been sick," and you're like, I don't understand that. Like, agree? I don't know. What do you want to put there? But it is in person. It's in real life. I just felt I had to say that. The power of a personal contact is 1,000 times more powerful, more impactful, more meaningful, brings a greater reward than just reaching out for beyond our digital kingdoms with a little poke or like or whatever you do. It's beyond that. It is in person. I went back and I read the scripture just to make sure. You know, doesn't read this way. I was hungry. You sent me a link to the Arby's coupon for buy one, get one free. Or I was thirsty and you liked my status and posted a picture of a drinking fountain, smiley face, emoticon, heart, heart. Not at all, right? I mean, I guess you could appreciate the sentiment, but you're still thirsty. Now, it's not only me saying that. The Bible says something about it, too. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' like, without giving them the things needed for the body? What good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Every single instance that's listed in that scripture is hands-on. It is hands-on. You are there. It matters. I mean, even the, you know, I love that you can send a birthday greeting online, you know, happy birthday, Joe, whatever. There he is. That's great. But if I get a card and there's a personal note written in it, that's awesome. If he comes by, "Hey, I got this for you," that's even more, right? It's just, and if you visit somebody, that just has so much more meaning because you're there in person. And the reason that is that it takes time, right? I mean, every single one of those things. I think I have the next slide has kind of the list again. Let's see what I got here. Go forward one. Yep. Okay. So all of these things, then after we go, is we have to give something, right? We have to give something. And the list, you know, is I was hungry, you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger, you invited me in, I needed clothes, you clothed me, I was sick, you looked after me, I was in prison, and you visited me. They all have something in common. And that's that they require time. Now, time is the greatest commodity, the most valuable commodity on the planet. We only have a limited amount of it, right? We can't make more of it. We can't find more of it. Although we say, "Well, I got to find time," or "I got to make time." We can't. We have a limited amount. That's all there is. In fact, the average human lifespan is about 75 years, give or take. That's roughly 28,000 days. Now, if you're age 20, you've already burned 7,300 of them. Do the math from there. Our days are limited. What are we doing with them? It all requires time. We've been given a limited amount of time on this earth to share God's love, to build relationships, to live lives that please God. By the way, that's the mission statement. Okay? A limited time to fulfill that, to do it. That is what we're here for. So how are we spending our days? I know this sounds really simplistic, right? But the most valuable thing that you can give is your time. It doesn't have to be a valuable gift. It doesn't have to be, you know, some massive thing. It's your time, which is massive, which is huge. It's the little thing that it matters big time. Time is so important. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And another translation says, "Redeeming the time." You're cashing it in. You're making the most of it. And so the opportunities that we have of our 28,000 days, how are we spending them? Is it all about me and what I can get in this world, or is it about pushing everybody else aside? Ignoring them? Because God didn't put us here for that purpose. Yes, He does bless us. Yes, He wants us to have a great time here and build great relationships and all of that. But really, it's not about that. It's about sharing the love of Jesus with others. Realize that we have been thrown the biggest life ring for eternity when Jesus died on that cross and bore our sins. And yet, we're like, "That's great, I'm just going to do my thing." But He wants us to share that love that He's placed within us, the life of Christ in us, with everyone. And it's not, it doesn't have to be, okay, I got to come up with some big evangelistic event for my block or, you know, around my neighborhood. I just got to be a neighbor, a friend, you know, get outside behind my screens and step outside and make connection with people. Get my face outside of my phone and connect with people in real life and spend time. Because that's the only thing we can do with time, is spend it. And how we spend it makes all the difference. We're supposed to redeem that time, whether it's with, you know, for our own spiritual growth, you know, becoming spiritually strong believers, or whether it's reaching out and meeting needs in our community, or loving unconditionally, whether it's enriching and building up our families. It's all about time. The biggest need that our teenagers need is time. They need that support. You need it. You need others to come alongside of you. Men, you need somebody to come alongside and help you through that daily struggle, to be accountable with you, to help you to walk this out. It's important. So, guys, you know, maybe you're pretty mature in your faith. You need to just seek out, realize there's somebody else, younger, maybe less mature spiritually, that needs your encouragement, that needs you to pour into them, to take the time to build them up. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Ladies, there's young, you know, young moms and others, that are single moms, that just need your support. They need you to come alongside to help them. This is all around us. Everywhere we go, there are people that we can be a light to, that we can encourage, that we can meet a need and share our time with. And so whether, my wife says, you know, it's really great if you would practice the art of brevity. There's an amen. I got one. So I want to give you a final encouragement. My final encouragement is, you know, whether you're starting back to school in just a week, or going back on Monday to the same job you left on Friday, or just your regular day, is to recognize that there are open doors all around you. Go through them. And that takes, you know, maybe saying, God, help me to do it. Give me the strength, give me the boldness, because I know that maybe that opening of that door is going to require then an investment of my time, which I know you value, and we value as well. But God wants to use that, and He can take that little thing and make it something huge. He can use that opportunity that was opened up as you go through that door and begin to give of your time. Because when you're giving your time and you have a relationship with Christ, I mean, a living, growing relationship with Christ, He's going to nourish, He's going to come out and show up in your conversation, whether you say the name of Jesus or not, because you care. And it's real. It's not something digital. It's you're there. And it might just be a box of coconut water, but it matters. God wants us to reach out, to be that light all around us, and to go through those doors, to give whatever little thing it might be, whatever God is leading you to give. It might be just support. It might be coming alongside somebody who is hurting, visiting somebody who is sick. Whatever God leads you to do, do it. Don't come up with an excuse. We're great at rationalizing why we can't. And they sound like good, very solid spiritual reasons, you know. But if we look at it and say, you know, I think God really wants me to go visit this person, I need to go. And do it. And God will bless you as well as that person. It may, you know, that might be the thing that opens the door a little further, where they start asking questions about your faith. They might start, you know, you don't have to like, okay, how can I present this? They're going to ask you. Okay, that's great evangelism. It's me just sharing what I'm experiencing, what God is doing in my life, and how He saved me and how He set me free. That's what God wants us to do. And we can do that, every single one of us. And through that, all of this, the really cool thing is, as you make that investment of your time, God says, if we do those things to the least of these, we're doing it to Him. It's blessing God. It's blessing the heart of Jesus when we do that. And you know that is going to come back and bless you. It will. And it's going to reach others. It's going to change the city. It's going to change your family. It can change the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us an open door to reach those that don't know you, to support those that do, to encourage our families, God. And it doesn't have to be some gigantic, big thing, but the little things, God, the things that we do to the least of these, for the least of these, you're going to bless. You're going to use us. God, I pray in this next few minutes that you would, Lord, begin to highlight people in our life, maybe instances or situations where we've kind of put the blinders on and ignored others around us, and look past their hurts, their feelings, and we're supposed to be the light. If there's conviction that needs to happen, God, let it take place. That's your job, Holy Spirit. But if it's encouragement, we're doing this. This is part of who we are. God, I pray you just lift us up this morning, encourage us to do more, to realize our days are limited, and that we only have a certain amount of time to be a light, to be a blessing, to be a help and a support to others around us. Help us shine the light of Jesus so bright that people would see those good deeds, as your word says, and praise your Father in heaven. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. We're going to just sing this song in closing and have a time to respond after that. Let's just go ahead and sing it.